put me through a really hard workout.
Right.
And 2 days ago, and I can still, I feel like I can barely walk down the stairs because he really focused on my thighs. But what I really want, I want my butt back. I used to have a cute, like juicy little butt, you know? And then ever since having a child, it's sort of, my butt is sort of flattened out into my thighs. What can I do? What do I do?
I think, you know, and I'm not like a butt expert, but yeah. I've actually, you know, it's so funny because I've recently become self-conscious of my butt as well.
Really? Oh, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out as soon as you get up to go to the bathroom.
But I, you know, I just started doing more like squats, more free squats. And I do these like one-legged squats off a bench. And there's a couple of machines at the gym that I use to focus on my butt.
He was having me do squat like these squats, but all I feel now is extreme thigh burn.
We've talked about workouts a lot because he comes in with a new workout like every week. He's got this crazy extreme workout.
He loves to talk about workouts.
He's got workout ADD.
Believe you me.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about his workouts. Yeah. But what do I do? Squats?
That's it's funny because my wife has a little fitness studio.
And, oh, yeah?
They do lots and lots and lots of squats, yeah.
And like deadlift? What do I do?
Just like free squats with your own body weight.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's what he was having me do, these split squat things where I jump.
Yeah.
And all I feel is thigh burn.
A lot of that stuff, the explosive movements would be, I think, more functional. They're more of a functional movement. And they take away a little bit if you're just focusing on a certain muscle.
Dave Bautista recommends explosive squats.
Yeah, no, well, not, I think back. Get away from it. I think you keep the tension on the muscle and be focused on the muscle. I think the explosive stuff would be more like a functional type training. You know, a lot of what they're doing for CrossFit now is a lot of explosive training.
Okay. Yeah. I don't quite know what that means.
Yeah, me either. I'm just kind of talking about stuff I overheard.
I like the idea of functional.
I'm just recurring.
No, but I just want, like, I just, for aesthetic purposes, I just want a cute little round butt back.
Yeah. But for guys, is it nutrition 80? I've heard nutrition is 80% and then working out exercise is 20%. Is that pretty much the ratio?
I wouldn't divide it like that. I think that's a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff, I mean, I think, I wouldn't say it's 50-50, but I think depending on what you're going after, what you're trying to maintain or what you're trying to obtain.
If you're just looking to look good, be lean, not really have as much mass, but if you're just trying to be a lean, maybe, you know, less body fat, muscles, but you don't want to look huge,
right.
What do you recommend?
A good diet. You know, I believe everything in moderation, though. You know, I don't believe in like extreme diets where you're just eating all, you know, like all protein diets and vegetables. Like, that's a little extreme for me. But I think basically, I mean, it's kind of a common sense thing. Yeah. Man. You don't load yourself up on Krispy Kreme. I've really found good results with a gluten-free diet.
Okay. Oh, really?
And I don't eat red meat and I don't eat pork anymore. Yeah, and I used to be a pretty massive human being.
Chris was telling me. When you were a bodybuilder, you were 400 pounds or
I
so?
I was up to about 370 pounds.
Wow.
And but I, you know, I had a hard time, believe it or not, getting my weight under 280 pounds.
You have solid bone structure. Yeah.
Well, this for Guardians. So for this Guardians, because the first one I didn't really even train to look a certain way. For this one, to be honest with you, I did. I wanted to focus on looking better because it was my makeup process is so much better.
Right.
I could get away with a lot more in the first one because it covered a lot of me. And this one, I actually wanted I put a little effort in to look bigger and look better for.
So, dear listeners, we have Dave Bautista here in Atlanta who is. Who's, I'm saying your last name right. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. People call me Anna a lot, which is fine because it's my parents' fault, but it's Anna, but I hate correcting people. So we're here in Atlanta. Dave has generously agreed to come over to this weird house out in the country that we're living.
Well, we're shooting. Well, Chris, not weird. I have nothing to do with this, but Chris is shooting Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Dave plays Drax the Destroyer, and you were so brilliant in the. The first movie, and I told Chris this is not just because he's a buddy, but it is probably already in my all-time top five movies.
Oh, it's awesome. an awesome movie.
I agree. I really fell in love with the movie. Not, you know, just completely removing myself from it. It's just you know, it's a great story about, you know, people who aren't perfect or aliens who aren't perfect. And they just come together for the greater good. And they all, you know, find this bond. And, you know, I think it's a good thing.
And the
it's
other inspiring. Day. When I came to set, sorry, Dave, I did not mean to cut you off.
No.
I do that all the time.
No, you
time.
Didn't.
You're
going to
be so annoyed.
Oh, we can cuss on the show?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, in fact, I do have a favor to ask of you later
I'm
on.
Just
yeah.
Start cussing.
Good. Because I have a special favor to ask you later. But when I was watching that scene where you guys, there's the five of you guys together. Mm-hmm. Chris and Zoe and Karen and Rocket and you. And you were the only one who asked the crucial question, which was like, you guys are all supposed to be looking at something specific. And you were the, and I can't give anything away, but you were the only one who asked, like, do we have a point where we're all actually looking, which is a crucial question.
Right.
And I was just, I don't know, that was... It sounds like a minor detail, but I was impressed that of your level of professionalism and thoughtfulness towards something that no one else, including my sweet husband, had thought
about. You know, it's a weird, you know, what the tricky part for me is, because now we are, without giving away too much, I feel like our sets aren't as elaborate on this one, so we don't have actually something to focus on, something to look at. It seems like we're using our imagination a lot more on this one.
Yeah.
Because of the studio. You know, we were in the big studio in London on the first one. We had the big elaborate sets. So it's very different with this one. I think it's because of the nature of the film. But yeah, those are kind of the questions. It's weird. I've just picked up that stuff kind of along the way.
No, but that's really smart, because it clearly takes years for people to sometimes think about, okay, as we're a group looking at something specific.
So we're not all looking at five different directions.
Right. Do you like this set better? I mean, I know that there's like some pretty high tech camera.
It's weird. It's different. You know, it's just very different. It's definitely a different feeling. I think that energy is different, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but it seemed like we were always surrounded by a lot more people on the first one.
Right.
So there's pluses and minuses of both, the way we did both. But the main thing is that we're all together again. And we all have great chemistry, man.
It's true. Chris, you know, this is his third back-to-back movie that he's done. And I know, you know, and he barely had a weekend off, if even that. And he's been so happy to be back with you guys.
Yeah.
I think he had great experiences on the other two, but he has had a different, I mean, he loves James.
Yeah.
He loves all of you guys. I think in getting to revisit this character that taps into his, you know, comedic ability and everything is really, it's been really fun for you know, for me to see, like he's just excited to be.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think it all trickles down. I think it all starts from the top, man. We got a good team, you know, even starting up with Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
But James, in particular, being our leader, I mean, he's such a fun dude. And it's a really cool thing because he and Chris really, they just mesh well together. They get each other. And I think Chris knows that James really has confidence in him. You know, kind of let him do just kind of whatever he wants, because it's usually magic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes Chris feel good that he knows James believes in him.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so now I want to start by reading one of your quotes.
Okay.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
we wanted to do this because the stories of Hollywood success are... They range so much.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's no ladder like other industries.
Right.
So here's I wanted to ask you a couple of things about this. This is a quote from you. I'm a poor kid from the streets. Mm. What I've been able to achieve has really just been through hard work and not letting anyone tell me I couldn't do something. I always try to encourage people to just pursue your dreams, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And
you make me cry.
it's inspiring is what it is.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about what kept you going during like tough times when maybe you didn't believe in yourself.
I think, I think it's a lot of different things. I think is, you know, if you get to the real root of it, it's just kind of almost a sense of desperation. You know, I'm not afraid to fail as much as I am afraid of wasting my life. Like, I just mm-hmm. want to make something out of my life. And I think, it kind of goes for anything. I think I've been really fortunate at WWE. I owe this really to the WWE because they let me see the world. You know, when you get out there and you see the world, you see what it has to offer. And then all of a sudden, your community, your neighborhood, your city, state, whatever, it just doesn't seem so big anymore.
How did you get involved with WWE?
It's not super glamorous, but so I was bouncing up until the time I was almost 30.
Where?
In Washington D.C. Okay. Yeah, all kinds of clubs in Washington D.C. I was all over. I was kind of one of those local guys. I was very well known. A lot of guys knew me because I was working at so many different clubs. And I started when I was 17, so I'd spent 13 years working in the clubs in D.C. But anyway, I was going on 30, and I had two kids, and I could barely pay my bills. I just couldn't even support them, and I was kind of desperate, and I was looking for an answer. And I thought, you know, there wasn't too much that I was cut out to be or that I was qualified to be, but I thought maybe I had a chance at pro wrestling because I was just kind of a gym rat. I looked the part. I knew I was athletic. And then actually I went to try out, and I failed miserably. They told me to leave and never come back, and I would never be a professional wrestler. Yeah, and then that just kind of really just it bothered me for about a week, and then I was just kind of pissed off that somebody told me.
Wait, there were open tryouts for pro wrestling?
Yeah, it was something. It was there was a company called WCW at the time.
Yeah, I remember.
You could go and you could pay to go in for a tryout. Yeah. And they literally just ran me into the ground, kicked me out, and said, mm-hmm. Don't come back. And it just it broke my heart for a while, and then I think it was more pissed off that somebody told me I couldn't do something. I don't know. I have that side of me.
So then what happened? What's your next?
So then I started making calls, and I had a buddy who helped me out, and we called it WWE, which was still WWF at the time. And they didn't have open tryouts, but they recommended a school. So I went and trained at the school. It was the Wild Samoan. And these are relatives of The Rocks. Everybody knows who The Rock is, but they're his uncles. So I went and trained with them for about a year. And then I got a tryout with the WWE, and they offered me a very low-paying contract. But it was, nonetheless, it was a contract, and that's how I started.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you think that being a bouncer, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, did it make you kind of numb to people? Like, do you have a slow temper because I imagine you deal with so many wasted jerks, and so you get you don't get needled easily.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's all. I think that will all come down to someone's character. I think mm-hmm. at the root of their character as well, because some people just are patient people.
Yeah.
And some people are just assholes, and they're always going to be assholes no matter what they deal with. You know, if they just don't have patience with people, they're just always going to kind of fly off the handle no matter what. But I was always a very shy person. I was always kind of withdrawn, and I was never very assertive. So I just always had that kind of patient side to me.
Do you get road rage?
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I think. Like, yeah. I think they're linked. Like, if you are dealing with assholes on a nightly basis in D.C. for a long time, I would imagine that you can easily, which is a great quality, the idea of being able to shrug off those sort of, I don't know.
But here's the other thing. I can't picture anyone ever stepping up to him at a bar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't, like, if you're looking at Dave and you're
Dave?
A drunk guy.
No,
there's no way. I mean, it's look at him. There's no way. Who in their right mind would ever?
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. It happened. Yeah, it happened. I went to jail a few times for
him. Oh, really?
Oh.
No, seriously, because I would, get into fights. Because I wasn't, I also grew up, by nature, I'm a passive person, mm-hmm. But I also grew up in the ghetto, so I learned how to fight. And I always had, there was always that side to me. So I didn't have patience. You know, my patience only went so far.
Right.
But yeah, I got in more than a few fights, and I usually went to jail at the end of the night. Yeah, it happened, I think, like 3 occasions I went to jail for getting in fights. Places where I was working, you know.
Yeah, you were doing your job, and that they still took you to jail, even though you're doing your job?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, but I ended up there. There was only one time when actually the charges stuck and I went overboard a little bit, and it was because it was just a bad situation, but mm-hmm. I went overboard and to the point of where one of the guys was on the ground, and I just kept on kicking him in the mm-hmm. face because I just lost it. So I did my year on probation, whatever, paid some fines, and, mm-hmm. and it was what it was.
That's an experience I haven't had yet. But I do wonder if it's in my future. I do feel like...
Just kicking somebody.
Well, not that part, but I just feel like... I don't know. I just feel... I don't know. I don't know how to hit somebody at all. Yeah. Maybe
Dave later can show you how to throw a punch.
Throw a punch?
Yeah.
But it would break my hand before it hurt anybody else.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
You believe in me, Dave? Yeah.
But you know what's so funny?
I could be a fighter.
Absolutely. I think anybody, you know, if you put your heart and soul in it, you can learn how to fight. Yeah. But I never felt good after fighting.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like, I always felt bad, no matter whether I thought it was justified or not. I just always felt it shouldn't have gone there.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think anything really good comes out of physical mm-hmm. violence.
That means that you're a really good person.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
I think it's clearly evident.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's true.
Never felt good about it. No matter whether I felt justified or not, I just mm-hmm. always felt like it just... I don't know. Didn't make me feel good about myself.
But being a part of the wrestling world mm-hmm. did, because that's a different thing.
That's just entertainment. It was entertainment. And most of the guys I worked with, I really liked. You know, there were a few guys that I didn't care for that I worked with. But usually you could tell in our matches we had bad chemistry. But a lot of the guys who I really had some of my best matches with were really good friends of mine. You know, Triple H, Undertaker, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero.
I've always wondered, like, when you're in the moment and you're pounding on them and this is one of your friends that you're hitting. You're in the ring and obviously you guys have had this discussion. You guys know what's going to happen. But when you're in the moment, this is still real. I mean, this is like you are getting pounded. You are punching your friend. you are jumping from the top of the rope and landing on him.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you know, you go into the locker room, you give each other a hug. You're bloody and beaten up and, you know, you have sprains there and broke. And then you just move on. And that's just always so. It's crazy to me. These are your buddies.
It's a weird thing, man. But it's one of those things where it's like we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the night, what we want is to give the fans a great match.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're after the same thing. So it's just kind of a give and take thing. We're beating the hell out of each other, but we're not injuring each other.
Right.
And we know what we want, and it's a give and take thing, you know. I've gotten receipts from guys, and I've given receipts because sometimes if you get a little, you go a little.
Of course.
I actually got, you know, Undertaker. We were at a WrestleMania, I think it was WrestleMania 23, and he had given me a receipt, and that just means kind of like payback thing.
Yeah.
And he had given me a receipt from like months before. I was like, well, why tonight, man? Why'd you have to do? But he almost knocked me out. And he goes, that's for breaking my eardrum 3 months ago. But it's just one of those.
I like that.
It's all fun.
A receipt. I love it. Yeah, we had Olivia Munn, who's dating, she's this lovely actress, and she's dating Aaron Rodgers. And I asked slightly sort of a similar type question. And she was saying how Aaron it's really remarkable that he doesn't take it home, you know, because I think at some level you become such a professional that your emotions, you take that part out of it. Yeah. And I don't know. I think that's that's pretty remarkable.
It's weird. I've met like some of the toughest guys in the world who are also just some of the sweetest guys in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some of the nicest guys I've ever met were just like legit badasses.
Yeah.
You know? It's weird. Yeah, it's weird how it works.
So cool.
Okay, so now we're going to do a not so rapid fire, and we're going to start out with a question that might take you by surprise. Okay.
Oh, before we do that, if anyone's wondering who's the giggling is in the background, this is my girlfriend Amy,
Amy
who's sitting in.
Amy's here.
Here for the laugh track.
Amy's here. Sim's awesome girlfriend. She came to Atlanta with us, and I just adore her so much.
She's been invaluable to the whole process,
She's blushing a little bit, which makes her look even hotter than she already does.
And Shaq has a crush on you too. Our audience has probably already heard that episode at this point.
Okay, so this is not so rapid fire questions. Dave, would you rather have sex with a goat, but no one would ever find out, or not have sex with a goat, but everyone thinks you did?
I'd rather not have sex with a goat.
But everyone thinks you did?
Yeah, I could live with that.
There you go.
I couldn't live with
having sex with a goat.
Yeah, I couldn't. I could.
But everyone thinks you did.
That's okay.
That's okay.
As long as you know.
I know that I did.
Yeah. I admire that because I'm so concerned about what other people think that I might. Well, it's different for a girl, isn't it? Yeah. Right. Anyway, and you know, Sim, what would you do?
Oh, I'm with Dave, 100%.
Yeah.
There's no way I could. I can't.
But
there's
everyone,
no way.
Yeah.
You know what? That's,
Sim, my
that's fine.
My family loves to have sex with goats.
My family that's will what... still love me. My friends will still, I don't know, my friends probably won't think the same of me. But I know in my heart, deep down, that I never had sex with that goat.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, you can.
You guys,
imagine just living with the thought.
I couldn't do it.
It's
can't
a
do it.
Really
I can't
hot
live with,
goat,
I can't,
Dave.
I wouldn't be,
yeah, no.
It's the hottest goat you've ever seen. Long hair. Okay, weirdest thing in your fridge. Do you have anything weird in your fridge?
No, not really.
What about like exotic mustard or?
Not even that.
What's in your fridge? What's in your fridge right now?
You know, it's not weird.
What do you keep in your fridge?
It's like super basic stuff, man. It's like eggs and diet cheese and. That's pretty healthy.
I know. I don't have anything
I have like
that weird in my fridge.
Six different types of almond butter. Well, I don't have anything
that's
weird.
Pretty that's pretty weird. That's
Is
pretty,
it weird?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Six different types.
I mean, not in LA, but
I
guess, you know.
Flavors. Yeah, I don't have anything weird. I have still have a bottle of champagne that a friend gave me like back in 2001.
Okay, that's weird.
Is it weird? Yeah. It's sentimental. I don't know, man. It's like once you drink it, it's gone. I can't bring myself to drink it.
It must be a really nice bottle.
It's not that. It was just a special occasion, and it was just the circumstances in which they gave it to me, and I just can't bring myself to drink it.
Mm. Okay, I wonder if there's going to be a moment, I predict, in the next 5 years when there will be an occasion special enough in your life that'll be really personal. That maybe you can.
I think that maybe I will break it out on my first year anniversary.
Oh, I love that idea.
Sure, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you have a reoccurring nightmare?
No.
No?
No, I'm sorry. I'm so
lucky.
Boring. I feel
No.
But
I can't.
Yeah.
It makes me crazy. Chris laughs in his sleep. All I have are anxiety nightmare dreams. Of either drowning in the ocean or someone, we've talked about this before in the podcast, someone like a home invasion person, and I run to the bathroom, I pick up the porcelain lid off the top of the toilet tank, and I smash them in the head with it. which I guess is like, I guess I'm tapping into some kind
that
of
is,
something
yeah.
that I need to.
Yeah. I do have, I wake up every once in a while and I get paranoid.
Or do you ever have like a line, like you don't have your lines memorized or you're late to set? I have that.
No, I usually like to memorize my lines on the day up. So.
Oh, that's good.
Are you good with memorization?
No, I'm horrible. That's why I do it on the day up.
So day up, so it's easier.
I guess that's the benefit of all the long makeup.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, I usually look at my sides and I can get the gist of it and then I can go and I'll think about it. Then we usually rehearsal. By the time we get to, you know, just shoot, we have a really strict script supervisor on this one. He drives me nuts, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, a script supervisor is someone who is...
It's like the playground teacher of movie sets. It's like running.
He's a sweetheart. I don't mean to...
Yeah.
And sound like I'm bad mouthing, but
right,
he,
but he's watching one word, all the details. Off, like if you're right, right. Yeah. He's making sure that you say every single line or if you miss something or if you're looking a different way or if you take a prop and put it somewhere, they're studying, they're looking at the monitor and they're studying every little thing to make sure everything is the same. Because when you're making a movie and you have different, you have to make sure everything cuts together and everything is seamless. The continuity has to be the same.
Like word Nazis.
Yeah.
Like I wonder what their everyday life is like there. They're just so anal about everything.
I know. Even imagine. I never thought about that, but that's true.
It's a tricky job, and they do tend to get under your skin.
There's got to be like some type of characteristic that makes you be good at
detail
that job.
Oriented.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not.
And part of the job is sort of being a little bit of the bad guy. Like, so the director can lean to them and be like, they did that. They messed up. Go tell them.
Right.
So they don't have to, you know, the director doesn't have to do it. I know. The script supervisor position. Yeah. It's a tricky one. Okay, favorite animated Disney movie?
Oh, man, I'm sorry. This is very
We can go back to your childhood. Were you into like Fox and the Hound? Did you ever watch that?
Or if one of your kids, if they had a favorite Disney movie?
No.
God, I know I must have one. I just haven't... I haven't thought of that in freaking forever.
What about a movie from your childhood? It doesn't have to be animated or Disney, but what about a movie from your childhood
like
that you loved,
movie you
that
saw
you
in
loved
the
watching? Or yeah,
no,
that you
God, the first movie I've been going to theater since I was a little kid. Animated. So this is the slowest rapid fire you've ever had.
No, it's not so rapid fire. We're doing great.
I must have one. I just can't think of one at all.
What about action movie that you saw like in the '80s?
An 80s action movie?
Yeah. Were you a fan of like Schwarzenegger, like Commando?
What about Die Hard? When you saw Die Hard in the theater for the first time?
You were the only guy who doesn't like Die Hard.
I was a weird kid. Like I remember sneaking into the movie theater when I was a little kid and all my friends wanted to go see Porky's. They wanted to sneak in to see Porky's. This is way before any of your time.
No. Yeah, we know
then,
Porky's.
I wanted to go see Chariots of Fire.
That's awesome.
Like, that's kind of, I remember watching Godfather when I was a little kid. It was on TV. And just being obsessed about it and just asking my mom question after question after question about it.
Were you kind of fascinated with the gangster, like the Italian mobster?
All of the above. Yeah, the stories and the characters
and the sense of family
and
family loyalty. Yeah.
That's going to drive me nuts about the Disney thing. I know I have a favorite Disney.
You don't have to. I'm not.
Well, what's your favorite?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I love The Little Mermaid.
I like The Lion King. Toy Story 2 is one of my favorites too.
That's pretty great.
Yeah,
Toy Story 2. Why not Toy Story 1?
Oh, I love them both. They're both
Sim,
great.
I feel like you're a little old to love Toy Story 2.
No. It's
sorry, don't mean to mock
everyone.
You, but I do.
I do love those movies.
Okay, what did you get in trouble for as a kid?
Oh, everything. Yeah, everything I was doing. Always, I was not a great kid, but I didn't have a lot of supervision. So I was always, I was a kid who would sneak out of the house a lot.
Would you lie to, because I lied to my parents.
Oh, yeah, it was way beyond that.
but I would sneak out and lie. Like, so, I was a lying kid, like, because they were really strict. Yeah. I don't know, but.
So I grew up back and forth between San Francisco and Washington, D.C. My mom moved out to San Francisco when I was very young. So we would do things like sneak out of the house and go down to watch the hookers. We like to watch the hookers.
Yeah, who doesn't want to watch it? I want to watch the hookers.
Stuff like that. And we're, you know, around a bunch of thugs, man. We're always like stealing stuff and stealing this, stealing that. And the police would pick us up and my mom would have to come get us and beat the hell out of me. Just stuff like that.
What was? Can you tell us like a couple of things that you stole? You don't have to say.
Oh,
the worst
you know,
you stole.
Kid stuff. You know,
yeah.
like a bike,
bikes, and yeah, we were. You know, we'd go to other kids' house, and you know, we'd be their friends. We'd go in and rob them. It sounds so horrible, but yeah, I mean, and this is when I was a really little kid, so we weren't. You know, we were stealing this stuff like sweatsuits and stuff like that. Sure. Stuff we couldn't afford. Sure. I know that sounds so
no, it
petty,
doesn't.
But that's kind of, you know, it's stuff like that.
Part of becoming an adult, though, is that you start to develop a sense of empathy.
Yeah.
But when you're a kid, you don't, you truly just don't have that part developed in your brain very well. So you aren't thinking like, how is this kid going to feel when he realizes that, you know, his sneakers are gone or whatever.
Right. And that's how it was. I mean, we were, because there was stuff we couldn't afford, man. Stupid stuff. Video games and sweatsuits and bikes and stupid stuff like that, man. It sounds so ridiculous now, but when we were little kids, I mean, it was like, you know.
I wasn't as like naughty as some of my friends and stuff, but I was, I definitely presented myself as a good kid to my parents, but they didn't know for a long time, kind of like the stuff that I was doing.
Like what?
I don't know, like smoking weed and like going to keggers and like.
See, I never did.
But that's normal stuff.
Yeah, but my parents.
Of course,
so,
I know your parents well. Yeah,
both,
of course, absolutely.
We grew up with really, really strict parents, which is good in one sense because you have to be strict.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it also made me into a liar. Like I couldn't like be open to my mom and be like, it made the bad things feel more delicious.
Right. It's so weird how you're products of your environment, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your type of trouble, like lying to your parents, wasn't like my type of trouble, you know? Because my parents weren't around. I didn't have parental supervision, you know? So we were out on the streets actually committing crimes when I was very young.
But for whatever reason, that made you also, that turned into a drive to make you a self-made person.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Was there a turning point? Was there one particular incident, or was there something that kind of where you were young and you decided, you know what, I want to be the best version of myself that I can be, and
there,
this is what I'm
going
to do.
There is one defining moment in my life, oddly enough, and it's weird because, you know, when I was growing up, I was, like I said, I grew up a lot in San Francisco, and I was a huge 49ers fan. And I think it was like, it was 88, 89 season of football season. And I watched Cincinnati 49er Super Bowl.
One of the best Super Bowls of all time.
I watched it in jail. And I was in jail and I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? And that was when I really made a conscious decision. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm just gonna
change.
And I was, and I didn't just snap out of it and not get in, but that was... like a real defining moment in my life, because I think I was, you know, just my later teens, early 20s, whatever. I think later teens when I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to end up there. And I knew that it was, I didn't belong there. You know, but I think it was even years later when I finally was desperate enough to actually start, you know, trying to make, you know, find a career.
That's awesome, though. That's a really inspiring story.
It was a long road. It wasn't like a short, just made up my mind, I'm going to do
this. It's, you know, and I know Anna has mentioned this before, but, you know, you talk about success and achieving the type of success that you have achieved or your husband, Chris Pratt, has achieved. Mm. And people like to believe that it's an overnight success, but it's not.
Yeah. Right.
He has some great stories.
Oh, he is the best. I know.
Yeah.
And because he grew up, I mean, we were poor at times and then we were middle class, but we certainly had no connections to like the entertainment industry at all. So I have every person has a, especially in the entertainment industry, has a very unique story of how, because there is no set way to become successful in this industry. And Chris has amazing stories. I'm going to let him
do our Chris Pratt podcast, which we've been waiting
we'll
on
him,
for a little bit.
Let him tell.
Well, he's a big star now.
Hopefully we can get him. Do you think he'll say yes?
He's all booked up for the next 2 years.
I know. Okay, so when you're at the end of an unbelievably exhausting workout, what's the song that really pushes you to bench that 500 pounds or whatever it is?
I've been listening to the same playlist
Really?
Workout playlist for years.
Okay. let's talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. it's the same one I've been listening to. I listen to it every workout. And it's old. It's old school hip hop. It's a lot of Public Enemy. It's Wu-Tang. It's stuff like that, man. A lot of it's Method Man. It's that, you know.
Who is the really raunchy guy? I know they're all kind of raunchy, but who am I thinking of? Too Short?
Too Short? And what band? Too Short? Wait, I don't know.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I'm hesitant. I say a lot of nasty
words.
Oh, you're
talking about Two Live Crew?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm also talking about, okay, you guys know I've said the word, I'm just hesitant to say this because this is might be one of the more offensive things, and you guys know I'm not afraid of being offensive, but it involves the word pussy.
I'm at such a loss right now.
Okay,
Amy were.
I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to go here.
No, I'd love for you to try and take us there because we have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't want to because it's
all I got was Too Short and I got pussy. And I don't know where to go from there.
Remember Too Short?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
Okay, then I'm not going to.
I don't remember him being like overly raunchy though. Yes. I mean, it's pretty.
There's a song. I'll sing it for you later.
Okay.
I'm not brave enough.
That I can't wait to see.
I'm worried if I start attempt it, I'm going to get so many people mad at me. Okay. And I'm usually not too worried about that, Dave. Okay. But with this song, I am. Anyway, I used to sing it with my girlfriends, and I'm really embarrassed that I used to do that. Okay, so moving on to the next question. We only have two more. Well, three more. And then, okay. Is there an insect or an animal that really freaks you out and would maybe make you squeal if you were alone?
Probably not squeal, but I'm not really a fan of spiders.
Yeah.
I don't dig them, either. They're just creepy and I don't know.
Do you kill them if you see them?
No, I usually, get
them. You let them out?
Yeah.
I love you, Dave. I love you because I'm a fan of spiders.
Pushing them out with paper or something, yeah. But they creep me out. I just don't like them.
I'm a big fan of spiders, and I always take them outside.
Yeah. Well, you're a big fan of bugs overall.
Bugs overall. Yeah. Although, I like cockroaches because I grew up in the Northwest. We don't really have a ton of cockroaches there. Right. They freak me out a little bit because they're so skittery. You know, they just really
cockroaches are pretty gross.
And I'd say rats, too. Yeah. Rats still give me a little shock.
Rats are, yeah. My wife had pet rats when she was young. She's a little different.
Yeah. But they're supposed to be great pets because they're supposed to
be. Yeah, she goes on and on about how smart they are.
Yeah. Yeah, but no rat. You're not going to have any rats?
No, we got dogs. Yeah, they wouldn't last. We have three dogs.
Okay, would you rather give up toilet paper or toothpaste?
I think I can make do without toothpaste.
I guess we should have qualified this because you could probably still use floss and mouthwash.
Yeah, plus and you have baking soda. It's always got a substitute. But
yeah.
There's no substitute for toilet paper?
I guess you could just bidet it.
Lucky enough to have a bidet, absolutely.
Can I talk to you guys, though, about the bidet?
Do you have one of those Japanese?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
But I've been to Japan, so I'm familiar. They're awesome.
They are awesome. Yeah. But can we talk about the bidet?
Sure.
Why? You can't really sit on it. Why didn't they make a more comfortable seating arrangement? Yeah. They don't the really want you to get relaxed.
Yeah. I've had one in my old house. I had one and I never used it.
Because it's just a rim. It's just a hard rim.
Yeah, with the water fountain. Yeah.
I don't know whether to face forward or backwards. I just haven't figured the whole thing out at all.
Yeah, it's a Japanese toilet. It's like the best.
You have a Japanese Toto.
Oh, you guys do?
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, that was a dream.
It warms, the seat warms up. Right. Oh, wait, as you enter the bathroom, like the lid lifts up. Right. And then the seat warms up, and there's like a bunch of controls with like different like temperatures.
It washes you.
Yeah.
It dries you. It washes you all over if you'd like. Right. It dries you all over if you'd like. It's a miracle. And then it cleans itself.
My first tour to to Japan years and years ago, but we went over as a crew to wrestle. And I swear to God, we all showed up at the hotel. We all came back to get on the bus to go to the show. And you never heard like 30 more excited guys.
Toilet.
30 guys, I mean, big men talking about, how great the toilets are. Yeah, I know it is awesome.
Yeah. I don't know why it has.
It's a guy thing.
More,
guys love.
It's not just a guy thing.
Really, you love it too?
Oh, of course.
Okay,
but yes. But guys, I know. I'm sure for lots of different reasons, love the Japanese toilet. We won't explore that right now. But let's just say the water does shoot all over. But that might be Christopher.
So we're staying at Chris's house right now.
Yes.
And it has this strange security system. So you might hear that from time to time. And every time a door opens,
yeah,
you'll hear that. What do you hear? Can you do it?
Maine. Entrance, door, something like that.
So we might hear that a few times to your listeners.
Okay, so anyway, Japanese toilets, they really need to, we got to work this out in the States. They need to become like a mainstay of.
I agree. I completely agree with you.
The newly built home, like, should just become like as basic as a water heater. Wow. Okay,
I'm still trying to think of my favorite Disney.
Oh, you know what? That's probably that. Yeah. Anyway, that's probably somebody else. That's not Chris. Don't worry about that.
Okay. I'm going to obsess over it now.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Over the years, professional wrestlers have given themselves incredible names and nicknames. Mm. For example, people called you the Animal. Mm-hmm. Other great wrestling names are Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Right.
Snuka.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior, Sergeant Slaughter, Jim the Anvil.
Neidhart.
Yeah. Thank you. Just to name a few. Yeah. This is a question that Sim wrote. I want to have my own wrestling name, Azana Ferris. Mm. So I'm going to give you three choices.
Okay.
For my wrestling name, will you pick your favorite or you could come up with your own?
Okay.
A, Anna the Spider Monkey Ferris. B, the leech, I'll suck your blood. Oh, C, the wine press, and my special move is, I'll stomp on your grapes and make wine out of them.
Those are pretty bad.
By the way, the last one is Chris's.
The last one's Chris's. I like Spider Monkey because I have been known to Spider Monkey.
Spider Monkey would be the only one that I would... It seems like a real...
Later on, I might spider monkey you.
Spider monkey, yeah.
Would you be okay with that?
I would shorten it up just to spider.
Spider. Because I do like spiders.
Spider Ferris, yeah.
Yeah, what all right.
Think? I like it too. Okay, so you are now Spider Ferris?
Spider.
Yeah,
I'm just
then
the
like
spider.
Your finishing move can be like the monkey something. Yeah, the monkey,
nice.
Monkey stomp. Let's just put them all together.
So you are... The spider. Wait, is it so? You're Anna, the Spider Ferris, and your signature move is the monkey stomp.
It sounds good to me.
But what? See, what I have to do is because my only move is like, let's say you're just talking casually over there with Chris or Sim or Amy or something, and I just run really fast from across the room and I just leap on you.
I'd be afraid.
It's a surprise.
It's like. It's like an alien, the first alien, when I think just run and just stick on your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just
you don't know when I'm coming. You're not even in the ring.
No. Nope,
that's
just
my move.
Stick right in your neck.
Okay, so now we have one more quick game for you that Sim is going to introduce.
Okay, so we have a quick game we want to play with you, Dave. Okay. So if you look at the WWE and its history, there have been some wild personalities saying some crazy things. Yeah. So we've set up a game where Anna will read something that was said by a WWE wrestler. Mm-hmm. You are going to tell us who the wrestler is, and it's multiple choice.
Well, you know what? I should say, if you feel like you already know the answer before we read the choices.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Okay.
So you can request multiple choice, or you can just say the answer if you think you know what it is.
Gotcha.
Okay. To be the man, you've got to beat the man.
Ric Flair.
The answer is Ric Flair. Nature Boy. Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Amazing.
My mentor.
I am the game, and I am that damn good.
The answer is Triple H. This is this is not difficult at all for you, is it?
Give me a hell yeah.
Oh, Austin, Stone Cold, yeah.
Dang.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's more like,
ooh, yeah.
Randy Macho Man Savage.
Oh, boy. Cut the music. What I'd like to have right now is for all you fat, out-of-shape sweat hawks to keep the noise down while I take my robe off and show all the ladies what a real man is supposed to look like.
Rick Rude.
Ravishing Rick Rude was my favorite. Okay, so I was telling Anna about Ravishing Rick Rude because she wasn't familiar. But this is a guy, Anna and Amy, this is a guy where after he would win the match, he would bring like this planted lady, like a hot girl from the audience, pull her up into Bobby. I don't know if Bobby Heenan might have been his manager. Yeah. Bobby Heenan or someone would pull the girl up into the ring where he would make out with her, and then she would faint every single time. She would faint. It was the funniest thing ever. And as a kid watching that, I'm like, oh my God, he really did that? How does he keep doing that? Every time he kisses a girl, she faints?
Crazy. It was back then. I mean, it was wild back then. They were like rock stars back then.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
One last one. You make me sick. Coming up here one week, sucking up to Triple H. Coming up the next week, sucking up to her. Leaning a little closer and just drooling her a little more. I mean, I hate to break your heart, but I think Steph's been drooled on before. Actually, I think Steph's been drooled on a lot.
Myself.
You got them all right.
That was to Randy, right?
Impressive.
That was to Stephanie McMahon and Heyman. Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman?
Yeah.
I thought it was right.
It was during WrestleMania 30.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That must have been so fun.
Yeah. No, it was. And that's what I loved about it. That's what I miss about it. But, yeah, it's kind of different times, you know?
Yeah. Because I never followed it as a kid. Mm. Is it drastically different now?
Yeah, it's very much family-friendly show now. It was a little risque back when I started. It was, I think, much more edgy, much more fun, much more violent. Mm. They've really tried to tone that down a bit to make it more family because it's so corporate now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but I don't think it's just not what I fell in love with, not the business I fell in love with, you know?
Yeah. So then you had to go on to the movie business, yeah, that's all.
That wasn't completely the reason I left, but the reason, you know, the total reason I left is because they were, you know, when you're under contract with them, you're really exclusive to them. And they were doing films and stuff at the time, but they just they didn't include me at all. And I thought that I should be given the opportunity to audition outside the company, and they wouldn't give me that. So that's why I left.
Yeah.
I wanted to fight, and I wanted to do films.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember there was a time where the WWE had their own movies, like I think John Cena.
They still do. Yeah.
But I feel like, you know what? You're doing just fine right now.
I'm doing all right. Yeah. I'm doing okay. Yeah. It was a hard 3 years, but... you know, I didn't work, but, you know, I'm doing okay. Guardians just opened doors for me.
So now we move on, Dave, to a portion where we call a person, a stranger.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
And I don't know. Sim knows what the relationship question is going to be.
Oh, God.